were we like? We thought we were going to do this whole thing and then we messed up.
Yeah.
So just talking about how we started the podcast all like gung-ho, like we're back, motherfucker.
Post-hiatus, it finally happened.
And then the next week, straight away, we didn't do it.
Immediately it.
I think it's kind of important. Don't you think it's kind of important to instill into the new Alex Baker Show podcast audience the sense of danger?
Low expectation.
Be here, it might not.
It might not, so don't miss it, because if you do, then, well, you know, I mean, you can listen whenever you like.
I think that's the way we keep them hungry.
Yeah, you know? I like that. I'm all about that. I'm all about that hunger.
Sort out your mic. Jesus, we're about to go on air.
I know, it's ridiculous, isn't it?
Stop about hunger. Stop in the mouth. 365. Come on.
Stand by for audio.
Got it.
And now,
the Alex Baker Show brings you one of the most exciting events it's ever been our privilege to bring.
Here we go again.
And this is just the beginning.
The Alex Baker Show podcast.
Due to the graphic nature of this program, listener discretion is advised.
The Alex Baker Show.
Episode 2 of Series 10. I called it Series 10. Is it actually Series 10?
Pick that out. I
just went, fuck! It feels like it could be Series 10. The thing is, when we first started doing the show, it was continuous. So I only broke it into series, really, because I was kind of jealous of Netflix.
You know what, though? You know what, though? When we get to September of this year,
yeah.
If you're listening at sometime in the future, 2019, when we get to September of this year, it will be the 10th anniversary of the Alex Baker Show.
Yeah, that doesn't really count.
Not
though.
That we've been doing it for 10
been
years.
Doing it for...
But if you caveat it with 10 years since we launched it,
lose the 3-year hiatus.
But you know when like a band release an album,
yeah,
and they celebrate the 10th anniversary of it or the 20th anniversary.
Oh, that's true.
Despite the fact that they might have been not active for that whole
not
time.
Not doing anything for half of that time.
Just
okay,
think
fair.
That first show was a release.
Yeah.
With little.
That's what we're making. We're dropping albums. We're dropping bombs. So how's everybody feeling? I'm feeling good. Thank you very much. I think we should actually introduce people, because I noticed actually listening back to the podcast last week. Yeah, I listened to my own podcast. What's the problem? Best thing on f***ing iTunes, mate. Listen to it all the time. All these other suckers. They're half-assed podcasts. There's lots of good stuff. Lots of good content out there, guys. We didn't actually introduce each other.
Do we not?
Ourselves. I
thought we had a whole feature that was about that.
Yeah, but we sort of went into what we've been up to, but we didn't actually like say who we really were and stuff.
Okay.
Hang on, this is about to drop again. Let's go. What's up? My name's Alex Baker. Thank you very much for joining us for the Alex Baker Show, episode 2 of Series 10, Series 10, if you're French. Or French inclined. Lee May is also here.
It's Lee Meyer.
Oh,
I'm still here.
Honestly, I'm not even doing this on purpose. I feel like I'm the worst possible friend.
4 years of friendship.
Oh, my God. Mayer.
Meyer.
Oh, my God. What is wrong with me?
Think like, I don't know, Maya.
I know, I've tried so many ways. I've like so many like mnemonics to try and make you
your
remember.
Your name is M-E-Y-E-R. From now on in my brain, it's M-I-R-E.
Okay, cool.
Like the song by Conjurer. Oh, man, so heavy.
Conjurer.
What a band.
Hello.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus.
So Lee Meyer is in the house. What'd you say?
Yes, I am.
Also, we've got Kevin Esquire Hingley in the motherfucker. His ass.
Hey, my name's Kevin Hingley. I don't talk as quickly or as excitably as Alex.
Oh, Jesus.
But I mean it just as much.
Just bringing down the whole tone of the room. With
sorry.
I'd say it's quite a chill. We could go for a chilled vibe.
Yeah.
I'm down with that.
Let's do it.
Man,
oh,
I'm
nice.
Sitting back in the chair.
Mellow Baker.
Just sort that mic out.
That's not chill.
Seamless. Like,
quite aggressive on the ears, actually.
Yeah, not
here
very
we
nice.
Go. So, yeah, welcome to Alex Baker Show podcast.
Oh, we've got Tony in the background.
Oh, yeah, cheers, Tone. Tone's always here. Look at him. Oh, God, he's wearing a suit. It's a suit. Tits.
Yeah. Just checking he's on.
He's always on.
He's a consummate professional. He's never off.
He's absolutely sensational. Right, so this is the Alex Baker Show podcast. Hello. Tonight on the show, we're going to be asking, what has Kevin done this week? Which I'm sure you're all desperately keen to know. Also, we're going to be talking about 100 days of 365. Have I mentioned it's 100 days of 365 today? Depending on when you're listening to this, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, I might have finished it ages ago.
I think by the time we've edited this and uploaded it, it'll be 110, 30, 12, 30.
Yeah, probably. It'll be finished. But today is 100 days of hashtag 365. We'll talk about that in a second. We're also thinking about talking about social media, but we might put that off till next week because I haven't decided. Climate protests, that's on the agenda. Loads of stuff. In fact, should we start with climate? Should we dive straight into climate protests?
Hello.
Feels like quite a rough way to start. Now, let's start with a feature, a brand new feature called Should I Do This?
Mate,
what? Should I do this?
Should I do this?
Should I send a picture of my genitals to a stranger on the internet?
No. Mate,
what?
Should I do this?
Should I do this?
The Alex Baker Show Podcast.
So it's been a mad old week in London Town, where this show's based, by the way. No offence to the rest of the country, just happens to be where we're based. Extinction Rebellion have been out in full force, rebelling all over London. Is that a word?
Rebelling.
Rebelling. There we go. Much better. They put a boat in Oxford Circus. Oxford Street is isn't it?
Yeah.
People come from all over the world to go to Oxford Street.
It's just a high street.
And they eat at Aberdeen Angus Steakhouse.
Shut it down regardless of cause. Just shut it down for
Bella
the sake
Italia.
Of it.
Can you imagine going all the way to London, going to Oxford Street to go into your high street generic shop and then going to Bella Italia?
Or going to Angus Steakhouse and paying £27 for a
Do you remember when I first came to work in London with you and you'd already been here quite a while?
I'll never forget this.
And
we went
out for
this.
Lunch on Oxford Street. I'm actually too embarrassed. I don't know why I bought it.
Come on, just do it.
I have to hear this.
And I said to you, well, you know, what are we going to eat? And you were like, oh, I don't know, man. It's like Oxford Street. It's not really anything here. Just like chain restaurants. And you're like, oh, I thought there'd be loads of street food.
Do you know what? I love how you've remembered that not as bad as it actually was.
Oh, no, really?
What actually happened was Kev went, all right, guys, I'm going to just go out and get some food. Anyone want anything? And we're like, no, you're all right, mate. And he's like, all right, cool, back in a sec. About 15 minutes later, he came back with a soggy waffle, like a Belgian waffle with some crap. Flavourless ice cream on it. And I went, what the f*** is that? And you're like, oh man, I went out into London thinking there'd just be like street food everywhere. And there was only one place. It was like some kind of crap van and it sold these waffles. I think they were selling scarves as well.
I love London t-shirts.
Yeah, exactly. There was street food everywhere.
I just thought Oxford Street was just London. That was it.
Yeah. London, Oxford Street sucks so bad. But anyway, these guys from Extinction Rebellion descended. Was it just on Oxford Street? Were they in other places as well?
No, it started there, but it spread out and they shut down like Waterloo Bridge and I think Vauxhall Bridge at one point.
Really?
And
yeah, they were all over.
Marble bridges. Arch, loads of places.
And there was threats of going like shutting down tubes and shutting down trains and there was even a threat on Heathrow at one point. Like,
really?
They were spreading.
Okay, so the thing is that I saw these dudes on the way to work. And it was proper early. I think I got to Oxford Street probably 7 o'clock in the morning.
Mm.
And it was quite quiet. And they had the banners up and the boat was there. And this was the first time that they'd done it. It was on day one. I think they just set up, basically.
Yeah.
And they were there. And I was like, oh, right, what's going on? Didn't know anything about it. I don't think it hit the mainstream media by that point. So I kind of like the bed's gone. That's a shame. Anyway, so I kind of like, I thought, what's all this about? I didn't really know much about it, you know? And for all intents and purposes, it was like a peaceful protest about climate change.
Mm.
And I went on Twitter the other day, at Alex Bakerman, and just said something to the effect of, I just can't understand how in modern times, with the threat of climate change at everybody's door, why would anyone have a problem with people that are trying to raise awareness of climate change? But so many people had a problem with these poor So many people. And we were talking about a minute ago in the pub. And Kev, You said you think they've been going about it all in the wrong way.
Yeah, I felt a bit bad because I do have some problems with it, despite being, you know, all for the cause.
Yeah.
Stay woke. And
up in here. Up in here,
up in here. There were a few issues. The first one, actually, was the timing, and a few people have brought this up. But day one of the protest just so
Hold
happened...
Hold on, the protest?
No, the protest. I did not say the protest.
He actually did say protest.
I'm sure you said protest.
That's definitely a thing. That's definitely
the
a thing.
Protest.
That's got to be another kind of thing, hasn't
We've
it?
We've got to do a protest,
That sounds like
bro.
The kind of thing people that ask when International Men's Day is.
Yes,
with you, isn't
my
it?
God!
Oh my God, it's a protest!
Anyway, day one of the protest...
Hashtag not all men.
Was day one of Parliament's Easter break.
Oh, okay.
When none of them were here.
Oh.
So the timing almost almost couldn't have been worse. And you had to wonder, did they know that? Did they care? Did they not care? It was the one time when there's very little guarantee of a protest making any change anyway. But if there's one time when it's definitely not... It's when
the
Commons
session.
Is not there.
When everyone's off in their Surrey mansions having a great time.
So that felt a bit weird. And then there were a few other things going on. So first of all, they, after a little while of just shutting down the roads, and that kind of makes sense because they're talking about air pollution, that kind of thing, cars, reducing the amount of cars, they started going after public transport.
Mm.
And a couple of them glued themselves to the DLR.
Just for jokes.
They actually super glued their hands to the DLR to stop.
They super glued their hands.
Yeah, oh my God.
It runs on electricity.
Well, this is the problem. They suddenly started going after things that actually.
That's what they should be driving people towards.
Yeah, that was my understanding as well.
Weird.
And also, the other thing I thought about was okay, if you're predominantly going after the roads and you're blocking the roads and that's the point you're making, what's happening there is you're creating traffic, right?
Right.
On the face of it, that sends a message that causes a problem and makes people pay attention.
Which is a good thing.
Yeah, that's
I have to say it's a good thing.
That is a great thing.
Awareness is being raised about the absolute decimation of our planet.
And might make people think twice about driving because they go, oh no, the roads are stuffed, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, can't use the DLR though because some super glued their hands to it.
But all those people that didn't stop using the roads, all that happened then is they're just in heavy traffic.
Yeah.
And... Okay, I don't want to pretend I know too much about this, but I'm pretty sure that stationary traffic with loads of idling engines, assuming they're not all hybrids and electric cars,
worse.
It's probably worse emission-wise than moving traffic.
Probably is.
Because it's concentrating in one area rather than...
Yeah, and also those engines are running for longer because they're stuck in traffic for longer.
Squirrels in Oxford Street.
And also...
Trees just dying.
It's therefore wasteful of fuel, which people then have to buy more of.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exacerbating the problem.
For their cars.
Yeah. Oh, I've got an electric car, so I wouldn't know about that.
Well, you're fine. You're
Hashtag fine. Just saying.
I think it is. I agree. I think it's an amazing message. Because don't we have... Isn't it like 12 years we have to make cataclysmic change? Like we have to really... If we don't make a change by that point, then basically the whole planet is...
Yeah, like it's the tipping point.
Like beyond repair. Like there's nothing else we can do. So it's obviously an amazing thing that we should be all talking about. I think the thing that got me was them targeting or threatening to target Heathrow because...
Oh, because of air travel.
Yeah, air travel obviously is terrible, but it's a part of modern life. And again, it's not someone going on one holiday, a family who's saved up for 2 years to go to, you know, Disneyland to treat their kids. Are not the ones that are contributing solely to the, you know, the bastardization of the planet.
Yeah, it's like back and forth business, like thousands of business trips every day, all across the world.
How many trips has Theresa May made to Brussels?
Yeah,
to sort out the Brexit mess over the past few months.
That sort of stuff. Yeah.
I think there's something to be had about a real conversation about changing our attitudes and our actions. About actually, this is the real detriment to the environment. This is what it is. But just shutting down an airport and, you know, really ruining everyone's plans, creating actually what is a lot of, you go looking at me.
Yeah, do you know what though?
He's got a finger in his teeth. He's got a contrary opinion.
You don't give a
Do you know what though? It's got us talking, isn't it?
It has.
It has. Oh yeah.
And that's kind
good.
Of the point, isn't it? If they hadn't done all that and people weren't kind of a bit energized and pissed off about it, then would anyone have given a
And actually, it's almost like maybe the timing thing doesn't matter because, like you say, the planet's running out of time. It doesn't matter that Parliament's not in session or all that kind of stuff. It's got to happen now.
Yeah.
Do you think... Because I feel like it was, to Converse, your Converse point.
Oh yeah, love it.
I feel like it has already become a bit more of a talking point anyway. I know that this suddenly thrust it into, you know, really big public view, but I do feel like this is not something, you know, it's not a couple of hippies wearing flip-flops are talking about it anymore. This is a world conversation that has already been happening. So I think it was all in very good faith. I think the meaning behind it was brilliant. I think some of the actions taken didn't necessarily justify the overall means.
I think there is a problem, though, isn't there, with kind of modern society, in the sense that we are in a situation now where, because everything is so visible and everything is on social and everyone's got an opinion and, you know, all that kind of stuff, it's very easy for well-meaning actions to be cast off or put down as being irritating, annoying things, and then sort of aspersions being cast on all the people that are taking part in it. It's a bit like veganism, right? Mm-hmm. Like, no one that's a vegan really is a wanker. They're doing it because they believe that animal life matters, and that's a very noble, positive thing. But because there's a small section of vegans who are quite militant in their approach, it's the case now that you go on, like, I mean, I don't, but I see people online talking about it. You go on Twitter and there's girls saying things like, they're posting pictures of guys and in their description it will say no vegans.
Oh, like their dating profiles and stuff. That's the thing. It has the opposite effect, because you annoy people to the point where they reject your message because of the delivery of it rather than what you're actually trying to say.
Right.
And actually act in the opposite way on purpose.
Yeah.
Because you've annoyed them. Everyone's just booking flights.
Booking flight, burning fossil fuels.
Yeah, exactly. And that could happen. That could happen with this, you know. And you think about the average person who just wants to get to work on time. You stop them doing that.
But don't you think, though, out of all the different issues that people have discussed over the years, whether we've discussed them on this show or politicians have discussed them in, you know, the chambers of authority around the world or whatever it is, actually, this is the one, isn't it? This is the one thing. I can't think of anything else ever in history, ever, that should, and I'm astonished that it isn't, but should unite every single person on the planet.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I wondered years ago, there was a point, without getting too deep into this, it was a dark time. There was a point where I was convinced that alien life was about to be, you know, exposed as being a real thing. Mm. And I was so sure that when that happened, there was going to be like a catalyst effect where people on Earth united, because they realise actually, you know, people in England think, yeah, we're English, and people in America think, yeah, we're American, and people in Africa think, yeah, we're African, whatever, and it's all sort of disparate and a bit sort of disunited. I thought if it transpired that there was proof of alien life, that everybody on Earth would think of themselves as a whole, and we'd unite as a whole to either welcome or sort of figure out how to welcome this alien life force, right? And I know that's a bit of a weird tangent, but my point is, when it comes to the climate catastrophe that's approaching, it is going to affect all of us. Yeah. Not necessarily old people, but people that are like our age now, and people like my kid, like our kids and stuff like that. It's going to affect, it already is. We're already burning. I have to buy an air conditioning unit, which is a problem in itself, because that actually exacerbates the problem when on a mass scale. But do you know what I mean? It's a situation. It's one of the only situations ever in history ever that actually affects every single person on the planet.
But people don't accept that, and they aren't united because they would rather worry about their different... Right. Have you been watching Game of Thrones?
Yeah, of course I have.
Game of Thrones is an allegory for politics versus the environment.
Mic drop.
Go on.
Game over.
The take, it scalds.
Game over.
It's so hot.
Is that right?
Think about it.
Yeah, I'm still trying to figure out what allegory means.
So, allegory. So in this mind, if I might try and delve into your brain and figure out what that means.
Do it.
So
you're welcome.
Come on in. Brain.
And also, sorry if anyone's not caught up, but it's Series 8, so catch up.
Yeah. How long do you have to carry on being worried about spoilers?
The attack or impending attack of the White Walkers and the Army of the Dead represents climate destruction.
Yeah. Right.
And people too busy infighting.
Yes!
Them not... Yeah, I get that.
Is that where George R. R. Martin's actually coming from, or is that just a nice interpretation?
Well, that's my interpretation.
I'm totally down with that interpretation. Because that is exactly articulates what I'm trying to say.
And you get a load of people on board, you know, loads of people that hadn't previously united coming together, but yeah. then still some reluctant that are actually still more interested in the...
In their own petty sh-
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's it. I think you're,
than
I
they
think
are
you're
of
really,
the impending destruction.
I think we're really underestimating the importance of corruption and money and lobbying by petrol companies, by other oil companies, by coal... Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
By all these oil drink...
I'm not underestimating it. That is 100% what's driving the problem.
So, and it is unfathomable to me that someone would look and say, well, we just don't know what's causing climate change. We do.
Well, of course
but
we
they
do.
Are, and they do.
We've known for
but
years.
They're just refusing to admit it.
Because they're making too much money out of it.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's so as simple as that.
It's, you know, we should be at the stage where renewable energy should be across the board. We should be investing in that. We should be really starting to downpour the amount of fossil fuels that they use, the amount of everything that we use that f*** up the planet. But for some reason, some people were like, oh, well, no, you know, BP's given me £100,000 for my political campaign, so I'm not going to do that.
There was a great guy, I don't know his name, I don't know any of the details, I can't even remember exactly what he said, but broadly speaking... There was a guy on one of Frankie Boyle's shows. I've seen that. You might have seen this clip doing the rounds on Facebook and YouTube and the like, where he talks about how f***ing frustrating it is that there's this narrative coming at us, at consumers, that it's up to us. Stop using plastic cotton buds.
Yeah. Stop using straws.
Don't use straws. It's like f*** off. You need to change the systematic destruction of our world by huge corporations and governments. That's what needs to change.
Stop making them and then we won't use them.
Yeah.
We can't.
And do you know what? I've got into, and you know, what I like about something like veganism, when people actually genuinely, most people now, whether they like it or not, accept, and there's obviously always some dissenting voices that have got their own agendas, but there's most people now seem to accept the idea that animal agriculture is one of the biggest contributors to climate catastrophe, right? And one of the best things you can do, and one of the amazing, most amazing things, forgetting protests and all this other sort of political dissent stuff that you can do, one of the best things you can possibly do to change our future is stop eating as much meat as you eat.
Yeah.
Because it's all driven by the consumer. If you stop eating it, they stop producing it. They're not going to f***ing eat up half of America with cattle and stuff to create meat that nobody's buying. They will not do that because it's driven by consumerism. So, you know, it's actually in our power. And that's what's kind of like, but nobody's saying that. You know, vegans are saying that, but people go, well, f***ing vegans.
Well, that's the thing, because other vegans say it in a different way and it puts people off.
It puts people off. Yeah, but, exactly. But there's these messages that are coming through now that, like, I actually feel it. I feel it every day. There's like an anxiety in me. And I know this is supposed to be like a fun, lighthearted show, but there's an anxiety in me. And actually, we talked about this when this show, when we were talking about bringing this show back, we did talk about the fact that I'm not as lighthearted and sort of wide-eyed about the world as I used to be.
But I don't think anyone is.
I'm more pissed off.
We're all more pissed off.
I think so. And you know, I'm really mindful of the fact that now it feels like crunch time, whether it's through the sort of deconstruction of society through this kind of never-ending backdrop of terror and war and worry and anxiety, or the kind of exacerbation of people's mental health issues through the proliferation of social media and this constant comparison that everyone's doing to each other, thinking they're not leading this aspirational lifestyle. That's f***ing people's mental health up. And then you've got these massive corporations f***ing up the planet. Everywhere you look, it's collapsing. It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's collapsing. Yeah. And you know, what I find interesting, and no offence to either of you guys, but we started this segment with you going, oh, isn't it annoying that they super glued their hands to the DLR? If that's what it f***ing takes to get someone to talk about the fact that our Earth is burning, bring it on.
I think that's their point. And we're just a bit slower to catch up on it.
Bring it on!
Wow.
Check!
What has Kevin done this week?
Nothing.
Yeah. God, I can't believe you've just gone from that to this. Kevin, incidentally, potentially, I don't mean to be mean, but the most boring person in the world. In the world!
What would you say if you meant to be mean?
Oh, sorry, Gabby, started. In the world. Kevin doesn't even watch films.
I get by.
He does. I mean, I love you with all my heart, but Christ, you're dull. Anyway, what have you been up to?
So I've gotten quite into overnight oats.
Of course you have.
No, you're not helping yourself, Kevin.
course you have. With or without wheatgrass?
No wheatgrass.
No wheatgrass. Interesting.
Flaxseed.
Can I tell you a story?
Sure.
There is a place called Fresh, which is like a kind of... Is it called Fresh? Can't remember what it's called. It might be called Fresh or Juice or something like that. It's like a juice bar in London. There's a few of them around. Years ago, I was in my local branch of this whatever it's called juice bar, and I was waiting for my juice to be created by the juice person, the juice barista. And this sounds like a bullshit story, but I swear this is true. This black limo pulled up outside, tinted blacked out windows, right? A guy got out wearing a little hat and like a waistcoat and a jacket, came around, opens the car door. This lady got out and, oh my God, she looked like $1 million. Like she just looked so impeccably dressed. She floated into the shop.
Yeah.
As she walked, I swear, this is true. As she walked into the shop, someone from behind the counter came out to the front of the shop, like came out from behind the counter holding this small little... shot of wheatgrass and a slice of apple, gave it to her. She shot it, ate part of the apple, put the shot glass and the apple back in the person's hand, and just walked out.
Oh my God!
And I was like, "Who the f*** was that? I want to be that woman. That was amazing. I don't know who it was. No, I didn't recognize her." No, I've never seen it before.
If you've seen this person in juice bars or in London, please let us know.
Yeah, I mean, I reckon she is like, she's not even like a celebrity. She is like...
She's
like the Duchess of f***ing Juice Town or something like that. Anyway, Kev, it's not about me, it's about you.
Yeah, so my...
Tell us an interesting story.
My journey with overnight oats has been more about...
God.
You know, winding down of an evening, thinking...
My journey
with overnight oats. Right, hang on, let him talk about his overnight oats.
Yeah.
Sorry,
yeah.
So, you know, you're winding down of an evening, you're thinking, right, I can get into bed now, I've done everything I want to do, I've had my little chill time.
It's like now a really weird version of AMSR, this, isn't
now
it?
Now it's sleepy time.
Say it in a whisper.
And then you remember, you made a commitment. You were going to make your breakfast for the next day, every night, before the next day.
You sound like a really budget M&S.
M&S.
M&S. Can you imagine?
M&S.
That'd be an amazing tribute to M&S.
M&S, AMNSMR. Yeah, I made the commitment to do it every night.
Will the real absence of hydrogenated fats please stand up?
Yeah.
That was the whole thing, wasn't it, when they took hydrogenated fats?
But yeah, spaghetti, took and down.
Rather than turning up to work in the morning going, oh, I haven't got any breakfast, I'll go and get a crap cereal bar or... whatever.
Yeah.
Having something prepared.
McDonald's.
And not just prepared. I used to have muesli and, you know, dairy-free yogurt. Good enough. I've started making overnight oats with flaxseed in there. Got some dates in there, some nuts. Top it off some raspberries for a bit of fun.
Okay.
And but yeah, you got to make them the night before to let them soak overnight in the fridge.
What are you soaking them in?
Tears. Hazelnut milk. And tears.
Isn't there a thing called instant oats? You don't even have to do it overnight. You
but that's porridge.
That defeats the point. It's like
it's not the same.
It's gotta be
so match. Is it the point to give yourself a task before you go to bed?
Maybe that a little bit. There's a behavioural activation going on there. I'll talk to you about that another time. But the point is that you're using, you know, natural oats. Good step. Why are you laughing at?
Just let me just drop that in. Some behavioural activation. That sounds like some deep therapy. Just chuck that into the mix.
Yeah, for another day. But yeah, it's good. I feel it's slow release energy.
Yeah, no, I've heard they're really great.
And when you've done it overnight and you get to work in the morning and it's all done, you get your little Tupperware and you're like, that actually looks pretty sick.
Yeah.
And I'm going to smash that.
And how many calories do you reckon with my 365 hat on?
Depends on how many dates you're putting in there.
Yeah.
How many nuts. But I'm doing like 1 teaspoon of one nut, 1 teaspoon of another nut, 1 teaspoon of flaxseed.
Yeah.
2 dates cut up a little bit.
Always try and make sure I got my nuts out on a date. Turn that off.
Get a big pun.
It's not getting a big pun.
I don't know how many calories. I'm not a calories guy, but
okay.
I know you are. But I think they're worthwhile calories.
Yeah, because they're slow release, like you say.
All of that.
Excellent stuff. So, unfortunately...
As if we're ending on
Is that
overnight oats!
We're actually out of time.
And there'll be people listening that haven't heard of them.
You said you've got to go.
That's what I need.
You said you've got to go at 7:30. Go. So that's it. We're done. Alex Baker Show, done.
I've got to go my further hours.
Going.
No, no. I've got a kitten. That's another new thing that's happened to me.
You've got a kitten?
Got a kitten.
Well, hang on a second.
We don't have time.
Why is it the case that Overnight Oats took precedent over the fact that you've bought an animal?
That's the first thing I thought.
Isn't that against your veganism?
I haven't bought it. My housemate bought it.
What? So Streety bought a kitten?
Yeah.
I'm
like co-cat dad.
So you've purchased a slave animal. Isn't that... That's not very 2019,
Come on,
man.
Now, let's not talk about your Tory cats.
Oh, yeah, true.
This was not a Tory cat.
Yeah, I got rid of them, though.
This cat needed help.
Yeah, you tapped it out as soon as your baby came along.
I didn't. I took it to Battersea. Oh, Christ. Oh, don't bring that up. That was awful.
Oh, Battersea, the cat, dog and cat's home that doesn't need more dogs and cats.
That was so upsetting. That's one of the most upsetting moments of my life. I got over it very quickly.
Alex Baker Show Podcast.